Well, well, welly, welly, well, 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 what do we have here, huh? All good things come to you, and to you on Christmas too, and God bless you and keep you, and have a Merry Christmas. Kid came up to me the other day and said, "Is the Christmas story real? I mean, is it true, the Christmas story?" What do you do with that, little kid? Confiding in you, asking you to confide in him, asking you to either confirm or deny the great Christmas story. It's solstice, people. Longest nights right now. Longest nights, shortest days. It's all intricately connected to the Christmas story. "Is it true?" the boy asked. "Let me tell you a story, son. A Christmas story. A story about the Christmas story. The story we've all been taught. Let me give it to you in the words of the great Reverend Davidson Lohr, who delivered it this way.
I'd like to tell you a story about Christmas, a very old story. It is probably one you have never heard before. It began like this. Thousands and thousands of years ago, people gathering together on cold, dark nights, the longest nights of the year, lighting a fire and celebrating, even rejoicing. This time of year is what we now call the winter solstice, meaning that nights are longer and we have less daylight now than we do at any other time of year. Through the centuries, it has grown into much more. It has taken on many different forms, this story. But it began like this, by lighting a light in the darkness. Nobody knows how long ago it started. Little handfuls of people huddled against the dark and the cold and having the audacity to throw a party. Maybe by lighting fires the way they knew that nature was beginning to light her fire in the sky once more, maybe they hoped the same thing might happen to them. That somewhere inside and among them, where it was dark, where it was lonely or fearful, that light and heat and fire might come again to them. Or maybe they were celebrating the fact that they knew the light was coming back, just as it had started coming back every year at this time, regular as clockwork. It was a celebration of light over darkness, life over death, hope over despair, from the start. And perhaps the reason that people have been doing it for so long is because it works. There is something almost magical about lighting a flame in the dark, even a candle, about surrounding yourselves with evergreens, fir trees. It transforms a room, makes you feel less cold and alone, you know? There's magic there. That was how the celebration that we now call Christmas began. The original Christmas story was the story of winter solstice. The date gives it away, as does the plot. In the ancient calendar, the pre-Julian calendar, winter solstice came on December 25th. In our modern calendar, we usually identify December 21st. as the solstice. But in ancient times, everybody knew that December 25th was the birthday of the sun, and by definition, the birthday of all the sun gods, all the solar deities. That's what's made this time of year a sacred time for uncounted centuries. One of the most important solar deities, one you may not have heard of, was a god called Mitra in Hinduism, or Mithra, a god so ancient he is celebrated in four different religions. Mithra came from ancient Persia, now Iran. He probably predated the gods and goddesses of Greece by 1,000 years, maybe more. The day we know as the 25th of December was the birthday of this sun god. To us, this just means that the winter solstice is arriving and the sun is starting to come back. That's the way we would say it. We're not very imaginative. But they did it by telling stories. Two stories. The first was that December 25th was the birthday of the god Mithra, who was born in a cave. He was born to a great sky god and a 15-year-old virgin. And three wise men from the east followed a special star to find the cave where this sun god would be born, bringing gifts. It's a story from the Avesta of Zoroastrianism that is probably about 800 years before the birth of Jesus. This has been one of the most popular stories we've ever told. The other story they told was a little wilder. It was that Mithra rode across the sky on this night in a golden chariot pulled by flying horses. And behind him he brought the sun and brought back the light. The same story with the same chariot and the same horses was also told of Apollo, a Greek solar deity, and told of many other solar deities at the time. About 3,000 years ago, a new religion arose called Zoroastrianism, and Zoroastrians tried to stop people from observing Mithra's birth on the 25th of December and the parties that went with it. That religion was very powerful. It changed many things. Zoroastrianism influenced the writings of the Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament and the Christian scriptures in the New Testament tremendously. But they couldn't change that story. And they couldn't keep people from celebrating it, from gathering at this time of year, lighting fires and celebrating the rebirth of their sun god, Savior, and the return of the sun. Then about 2,200 years ago, the Jews added a new festival to their tradition because of pressure from the culture. They called it the Festival of Lights, and during this festival, people lighted flames and gave gifts and celebrated with parties and dinners. The day they chose for their Festival of Lights to begin on was the 25th day of their month Kislev, which we know as the 25th of December. Neither the Zoroastrians nor the Jews could stop this old story about the rebirth of the light. 200 years later, after the man Jesus had died, the early Christians told many stories about him as they began to think of Jesus as a god. They told stories about his being born in a cave or a stable, and originally his birthday was celebrated on May 20th. Probably didn't know that. Even 200 years after Jesus died, in the middle of the 3rd century, the 20th of May was still being celebrated as his birthday. But in the 3rd century, the Romans still ruled the world, and the Romans still celebrated the ancient winter solstice festival for the birth of their sun god Mithra on December 25th. They also celebrated their Saturnalia at this time, which was a much wilder affair. They decorated with evergreens, with holly and ivy and mistletoe. They gave presents to each other, and they had festive dinners and parties Many of the Christians loved these parties and attended them, much to the displeasure of the church. But at this time of year, even among the Christians, in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th centuries, Mithra was more popular than Jesus. Now, the Romans had pictures of Mithra riding in a chariot in the sky, drawn by horses, with the sun coming up behind him. And Mithra was called, in the captions beneath these carvings and drawings, the rising sun who dispels the forces of evil. Pretty soon, in the 2nd and 3rd centuries, there were pictures and carvings in the Christian catacombs of Jesus, showing him riding in a chariot, going across the sky, pulled by flying horses, with writing beneath the pictures calling Jesus the rising sun who dispels the forces of evil. And there were also pictures of Apollo with the same caption. And then around the year 336, the Christian church decided to change the official date of Jesus' birthday to December 25th. It didn't happen till then. It just happened to have been the day celebrated as the birthday of the sun god Mithras for a couple thousand years by then. At the same time, the Christians adopted the holy day of the religion of Mithraism. Up until the 4th century, and this may seem surprising, Christian writers had prided themselves on having no holy days. This was quite an important and prideful point for them, because the days of the week were named after pagan gods: Sunday for the god of the sun, Monday for the moon, and so on. The Emperor Constantine had given the Christians freedom to practice their religion in the year 313, ending over a century of persecution of Christians by the Roman Empire. But Constantine, on a closer look, seems to have been a follower of Mithras, not Jesus. And part of the agreement that gave the Christians the protection of the state was that Christians had to adopt the holy day of Mithraism, Sunday, the day of the sun, the day of all religions centered on sun gods. It's still the day we regard as the holy day. We're still celebrating the birth of a solar deity. And the Christians then also adopted the birthday of Mithras, December 25th, as the birthday of their own Son of God, Jesus. And so the Christians told a story about wise men following a special star and bringing gifts to a baby being born, a story that was centuries and centuries old by then. A Savior who would come to drive away the darkness and bring a great light into the world. They didn't tell the story about Mithra riding across the sky, or Jesus riding across the sky in his chariot anymore, because they thought it was a silly story. They thought some of the other old traditions were silly or inappropriate too, and they stopped them for many centuries. Gifts were not given on Christmas, and evergreens were not used the way they had been, and there weren't parties and great dinners and celebrations for a long time, because these were all seen correctly as parts of the pagan celebrations. But it's hard to cover up really good stories. We like them. And in the 1500s, Martin Luther, who began the Protestant Reformation, was also the first person credited with bringing a whole fir tree into the house at Christmas. Now, that choice wasn't accidental, because the fir tree had been the sacred tree of Mithras. And Mithraism lasted in Germany into the Middle Ages, longer than it did anywhere else. So Mithra's tree was back. So were candles and other greenery, and the holly and the ivy. In the United States and in England, and this you may not have known either, the Puritans prohibited the celebration of Christmas for many years, precisely because it was a pagan festival. In fact, until about 150 years ago, the middle of the 19th century, December 25th was just another working day. It was not a holiday, and workers could be fined if they didn't come to work on the 25th. These were rules passed by Christians, by Puritans, who wanted to keep the religion pure and free from pagan rituals. Christmas cards also originated about the middle of the 19th century, and gifts began to be given. By the end of the century, gifts were given routinely, but they weren't given on Christmas. They were given on St. Nicholas Day. In this country and in England, St. Nicholas Day is December 6th. St. Nicholas is the one who was the patron saint of the poor. St. Nicholas was the one who traveled through the streets with bags of gold, distributing gold to the poor. It was only about 100 years ago that, through pressure of merchants, St. Nicholas Day was combined for most religious traditions in the West with Christmas, and presents began being given on Christmas. So this tradition that seems age-old to us is really quite new. So when the modern Christmas activities of sending cards and buying presents began about 150 years ago, they began, ironically, as an exercise in capitalism, not Christianity. The people who oppose all the merriment and the commercialism of Christmas as being opposed to the spirit of Christmas don't know their history. Merriment, greenery, candles, and gift-giving are the spirit of the season and have been for thousands and thousands of years, since long before it was ever called Christmas. The final piece in reassembling the original Christmas story came, oddly enough, from a cartoonist. It was given to us in the 1860s by an American Civil War cartoonist named Thomas Nast. Thomas Nast is the man who first drew the Republican elephant, the Democratic donkey. But he drew another picture, too, that became famous. He drew a picture of what Santa Claus looked like. Before then, people didn't know that Santa dressed in a red suit with white fur around it, or that he drove a miniature sleigh with 8 tiny reindeer that flew through the skies on Christmas Eve and visited every home with presents for the children. When you think about this, you realize that cartoonist Thomas Nast helped us put the original Christmas story back together again with a modern Mithra riding in his chariot, being pulled through the sky by flying animals, bringing gifts and merriment to all. The story is older than we know how to count. Then once more, as they'd done for thousands of years, people again gathered around the winter solstice, now misdated to December 25th because the calendar had changed, but the traditions had not. They lighted candles and surrounded themselves with evergreens. They gave presents and had wonderful meals together and laughed and sang right in the middle of winter. And at last, the old winter solstice story was whole again in another new form. So what is the story of Christmas? It's the same story that people have been telling for thousands of years longer than we even know how to count. And neither the birth story nor the date of December 25th have anything to do with Jesus or with Christianity, as every single Christian would have told you up until the year 336. The original Christmas story is about the fact that the sun is being reborn, and all of the darkness, both inside and outside, will now begin to go away. Now, the sun is just being reborn. It's only a baby. But it will get bigger and brighter, this newborn sun, and then, why, it will be like something pulled through the sky in a golden chariot by magical flying animals, bringing back light and warmth and life to everyone. That's really what December 25th has been about almost forever. Before Jesus, before the Jews, before the Zoroastrians, before anyone even wrote it down. That's the original Christmas story. Now you can see that asking whether or not the story is true is missing the whole point. It's a misleading question. Is it true? It's as true as our deepest yearnings, our wettest tears, and our loudest laughter. It's as true as hope, love, and the spirit of life are true. They're true. It's as true as a baby's laugh or the exalted beatings of a joyful heart. It's true for everyone who can let it be true, who can let this most ancient and most magical of all seasons into their hearts. Is it true? It's been true for more years than anyone knows, because its home is in the human heart, your heart, my heart, with our longings and our lonelinesses, our hopes, our dreams, and that miraculous and amazing spirit of life which will not be defeated even by the darkest of nights. Yes, the Christmas story is true in all of its incarnations. Merry Christmas.